I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Been ages though. Do you think we actually have any listeners anymore?
If you leave us now, you'll take away the biggest part of us.
How does the rest of the song go though?
How's the rest of the show go? What's happened? It's not usual.
Thank you all for sticking with us if you are still out there. You know, times are harsh these days. I know people have probably been saying that since the beginning of time. In the first year of time, you know. Oh, gosh, times are harsh. We're out of apples. I don't know, but...
How are we going to survive? I mean, we've got plenty of bananas, pears, apricots, but the apples, we've got no apples.
But there's no more chalk. I can't do the cave painting. Ethel, cave painting chalk.
Oh, Al, you better go out and bloody hunt that as well, you dickhead.
So I'll tell you something really interesting about this week's episode.
Oh, yes.
We experienced this in the last episode,
yeah,
which is earlier, like, 5 minutes ago,
yeah,
I was touching buttons. And then like 10 minutes before that, Rhys, I was touching you.
Whoa! Cancelled!
So nice touching.
Nice touching.
Because we're still all in the same room.
We're in the same room. We are.
And I did like that touching.
Yours was a bit more sexual. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's...
That's okay.
Mine was a lot of stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. But yeah, so we're still in America. And it's fantastic to have us all together. We've been on some great missions. We've got more to talk about.
Well, I haven't. It's nice that you guys have been on lovely missions, but I got here late.
Yes.
And I don't get no missions.
No, you got some. You got a little bit of a mission.
You got the boat mission.
Yeah.
Oh, that was really fun.
And not only that, you've been on your own personal journey mission.
So I
want to hear about that this week.
That's a good point.
What? Yeah.
Can you give us a little bit of a teaser before we carry
okay.
on?
Well, I was very, very brave and I went and did an ayahuasca ceremony.
Whoa!
Did you really?
Yeah. I did a full shamanic, is it a thing? Shamanic.
Yeah.
Ayahuasca ceremony.
Where'd you do that? In New Zealand?
No, I did it somewhere where it's legal.
Where's it legal?
Just down...
You're not allowed to say it. It wasn't illegal. It was illegal, wasn't it?
No, it was very legal.
Very
Amazonian.
Legal.
I went to the Amazonian forest.
Yeah.
And a shaman there...
They're very popular, these things.
Yeah, I know. They're happening
it's
globally.
Not like a black market kind of...
Yeah.
under the table situation.
Yeah.
No.
And so why are you being so dodgy about it?
Well, you are. This guy's
hiding locations.
I just don't want to flood everybody. I had such an awesome experience. Yeah. I don't want it to get real too popular. I want to keep it for myself.
Okay. So you're going to tell us about that experience today.
Yeah.
In this podcast.
Well, guess what?
What?
The plants.
Yes.
Gave me something very special.
Wow.
Something we haven't had for quite a while, which I think you guys should be very excited about.
Cryptid news?
No, I'm just going to research that shortly. No, it gave me a theory.
Excellent.
In a little while, I may be granted a Buttons theory time.
Okay.
So it was worth it just for that. But yeah, I can't wait to tell you all about it. It was amazing. It was incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, should I tell you now?
No, I think we'll do everyone's favorite segment. It's
Buttons Theory Time. Is that now? Are we doing that now?
Weekly World Weird News.
It's crazy. It's freaky. Watch out.
Okay.
Right. Well, I'll go first then.
Okay.
You're so confident now since the ayahuasca ceremony.
Honestly, there's a whole new me and me.
No, I know what's happened but here. Also, you said what your story is earlier. Yeah. Buttons is trying to sweep in and steal it here.
I just know that you've got the same news as me.
What is it?
And I've got nothing else.
Okay, so here's mine.
What?
We'll do it at the same time. We'll see if we've got the same. So mine's from Fox News.
Mine's from Fox News.
And it is scantily clad witches caught munching on deer carcass in bizarre security cam footage. What did you have, Leon?
Well, I've got, funnily enough, mine's on Fox News. And mine's
okay, this is painful. Feeling the pain. Okay, great.
Is Dan touching you again?
Stop it.
Is that why we're filming it? Is this evidence now?
From now on, we just need proof for the courts.
Right.
No. Do you want to kick into it?
Well, I got a headline.
Yeah!
I suppose
Dan wants to be in the show.
Just a quick reminder about how we do our show. Sorry. We do usually a different headline each, none of these multi-pack headlines, then we go into it.
Vehicle.
Okay, my story is multiple Taylor Swift fans going online.
Munched on deer carcasses.
On deer carcasses. Going online and reporting memory loss for her gigs.
What?
Lots of people going on, I have no memory of what happened in that gig. Did she play that song? I have no memory. And they're all going online going, wait, I have that too. Wait, so what's
That's
going on?
Weird.
Yeah, so we'll get into that.
Hang on.
Oh, wow.
So memory loss, but just of the concert, not memory
of
loss.
Of the concert.
Like, you go to the concert and then you start losing memories.
No. You walk away from the concert going, I don't remember anything that happened just then. Wow. Seeing footage that they filmed themselves going, I don't remember that song being played.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into that in a minute.
I've got a theory on that.
Stop unpacking that. That's a headline.
Okay.
It's been so long, you've forgotten how to play
Here, you
this
can
game.
You can have this headline, Buttons.
Oh, do I get a headline gift?
Yeah, here you go.
Here we go. Here's a headline for me. This is something I just read.
Headline gift.
Headline gift. Gifting.
Gift to the poor.
Unprepared.
Yeah.
Okay, here's something that's just been handed from Dan's phone over to me. This is nice. It's good being in the same room. You get gifts. It's amazing.
But also, we can go into your ayahuasca story potentially off the back of this as well. So it's a sort of,
In that case, maybe you should go third.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go third. But
do you want to do
the headline
now? Yeah. Do you want to do the headline?
I'm a little nervous about what the headline. Okay, but here we go. Forest rangers searching for tree with breasts.
Oh, I like this one.
Insonian Forest.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you for this wonderful gift. That's so kind.
Oh, welcome.
Wow.
All right, give me my phone back now.
Well, how am I going to read my news story? I'll just make
story.
It up.
I'll hand it to you when we get to the story.
Okay.
But also we can do this one together because I know that you enjoyed the idea of that.
Well, it fits into the ayahuasca thing as well to some degree. Well, yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean, both are becoming very popular at the moment, isn't it? Witchcraft and ayahuasca ceremonies.
Yeah.
And
well, what's the story? This
working
is
on the self. Yeah.
Basically, a nurse and nature lover in Canada reportedly captured footage of what she said appeared to be two witches holding a carcass-eating ritual with a camera she set up near her home. So, that sounds fairly poorly written, that sentence there. I would have said she would have set the camera up first and then captured, you know. So it's like a trail cam.
Yep.
I don't know what the heck was up with that, she says. Why bother with that quote? 36, got her age in there, so that's important. Mm-hmm. It really freaked us out. It's not something you see every day. Yep, fair enough. After coming across a deer carcass in a garden on her property, this is this lady, Karenia Stanhope, she set up the camera to survey any animals that might take interest in the dead deer. Okay, so mm-hmm. that's, you know, as you would do. Me and my grandpa, oh, that's cool, that's cute, put up a trail cam to see if we could see animals. We got a bobcat on camera, which was pretty cool, she said, adding that her 76-year-old grandfather, Bob, was horrified when he checked the footage and saw what appeared to be scantily clad women chomping down on the carcass at night.
Wow.
Scantily! Excuse me, everybody. I think I've just spotted a couple of scantily clad witches out there. just having a munch on a carcass.
I have a photo here that you can see.
Yeah.
I've seen this.
Jeez, wow.
They've been very respectful to the witches in the fact they've only posted still images from the video where you can't see any of the nudity.
They're topless, basically.
They're topless, yeah. Topless with kind of loincloths around their, well, loins. But they've got shaggy long hair and they're hunched over a carcass. Now,
and there's footage of this, so you can see them... Yeah, taking meat into their mouth?
No. Well, I haven't found it.
There's only stills from the video.
Okay.
On this article anyway. But here's where it gets interesting. Stanhope noted that the apparent carcass eaters emerged about 10 minutes after sunset looking disheveled and like they were wearing wigs.
Mm.
So
maybe to hide their identity,
to me, this is why it's lending itself into the sort of hoax department, because if it was a real satanic thing or just a bizarre witch thing, I don't know, from my knowledge, why you would add wigs to your thing, unless you are hiding your identity. But why would they hide their identity?
That feels weird.
Well, yeah, the other thing that I have been trying to just research quickly whilst you've been yabbering away is
padding
for me,
padding with the actual article,
thank you, is that this person says they have witnessed a carcass eating ritual like it's an actual thing. I'm trying to do web search, internet. I'm using the internet here.
Oh, wow.
To search.
Okay.
That's a first.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's very interesting. But there is no such thing that I can see of a carcass eating ritual.
Yeah.
Like this person has created they've got, oh, they're doing a carcass eating ritual. It's like, there's lots of things about cannibalism and endo-cannibalism and ritual slaughter.
Well, there's two things going on here, right?
Yeah.
Firstly, isn't it weird listening to Buttons without him buffering all the time and losing internet?
Yeah.
It's a new feature of the show. He's just here.
I did, funnily enough, whilst editing the last episode, when my internet broke down, I didn't hear that part. But then editing back, I did hear Dan going, you know what, this is getting a little bit boring now. Every episode. It used to be kind of cute. Now it's just kidding.
Oh, yes, that's right. I remember him saying that.
Like, I knew you would hear that. I didn't say that.
Of course.
I used to think this was a shtick, but now I'm thinking, this is actually getting really annoying. We should probably
The second thing is that we're taking Bob's word here for it to be a witchcraft ceremony, aren't we?
Exactly.
He's labeled it. Bob's just like, witches are outside. What we're looking at there is definitely ritualistic, if it's real. I don't know about witches ever eating the carcass of a...
Yeah.
Well, it says here that you can't really tell from the photos, but the hoof was brought right up to her mouth, she said, and I don't know if she was kissing it, smelling it, or eating it, but touching, obviously, something that's decaying a carcass, you know, is pretty gross.
Pretty sick.
Yeah.
I have found there is something called omophagia, onophagy. It's a Greek word for raw, and there is actually a ritual of the eating of raw flesh. The term is of importance in the context of cult worship of Dionysus.
D- Dionysus?
Dionysus? Yeah, Dionysus. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I meant to say.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so that is your most likely culprit there. That actually adds up.
Right.
So that is a ritual.
What, so what is Dionysus?
Okay, so Dionysus, if we quickly Google it, I think it's a god or goddess,
yeah, right,
of one of the Greek scenarios. So if I just go, hey, Google.
Oh, no, not this.
Who is Dionysus?
Originally, Dionysus was the Greek god of fertility. Later, he came to be known chiefly as the god of wine and pleasure. The Romans called him Bacchus.
Oh, Bacchus. There's restaurants called Bacchus.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Where you get served raw deer.
Raw deer. Just have a little lick of this. Yeah. Just kiss it if you want. It's fine.
That all kind of adds up.
Yeah. What's interesting that it was around fertility and what have you. And the interesting thing around that, I've done some research in the past of witchcraft, is that witches back in the original form were just wise women who, you know, used plant medicine and what have you.
Yeah.
There was nothing necessarily satanic or even hugely spiritual around it. They were just wise women within a tribe. And then later on, during the time where land acquisition was a big thing, you know, around the witch trials and all that kind of stuff, that what happened is that when somebody's husband would die and the land was left in the name of the wife, that often all of the patriarchy was like, oh, we have to have that land. We can't have a woman own that farm.
Yeah.
So that's when the witch trials came about, and they were like, she's a witch.
Right.
And then to, you know, destroy that human.
Yeah.
So that the land could then be put back into some form of patriarchy. And so that whole thing of witches becoming an evil thing, and then, you know, the Disneyification of witches, where it's like the evil witch and all that. That has all come out of it actually meaning a positive thing for women and being a celebration of them being wise and being
innovative.
So did they do potions and stuff? Did they? And they would have been like medicinal as opposed
to... Yeah, probably no different today that now everybody's on health kicks and eating, you know, all manner of natural plant medicine and what have you.
Yeah.
It probably just come full circle. It was probably just that.
Yeah. It's crazy though, like, because back in the day they did have witch trials where they weren't just the classic, you know, see if they drown. If they drown,
they're a witch.
They're a witch. If they bob, they're not. And then you kill them, like, or whatever it was, that thing. I read a story about Kepler, one of the great early scientists who taught us a lot about the universe. He had to cut off being a scientist for ages, and he was one like looking out to the universe. He was discovering the moons.
He was before
stuff.
Galileo, right?
I think he was at the same time, roughly. He had to cut off to be trained to be a lawyer because his mum was on trial, accused of occasionally turning into a cat. And so he went, and she was in jail, chained up in jail, because they were like, we don't want to let the cat out.
Oh my God.
And he had to go and get her out of jail by defending her in court. So, like, there were court cases where you had to prove someone wasn't a witch, which is mad to think of.
Like, guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Somebody says they're a witch. I saw them turning into a cat, and I swear.
Yeah.
Like, I was sitting there, and I was looking at them. I turned away. A couple of minutes later, they were gone, and there was a cat there. I'm pretty sure. She turned into a cat.
Exactly. It's exactly that.
Like, she didn't just walk away and a cat just sort of was there.
Because we're talking about the days of eyewitness proof was the only proof you had. Because there was no DNA, there was no detective work going on. It was like, it was the person's word.
Yeah.
And if you had eyewitnesses, then that was, and suspicion on top of that, then you can put them away.
Yeah.
But witchcraft is coming back now.
It is.
Massively. If you go into stores like Watkins, my favorite bookshop, so many of the books now are modern guides to witchcraft. There's online sessions that are constantly being done at the moment. And everyone's going back into ritualistic stuff. It's kind of like a new version of The Secret or,
it's
still linked to wellness. Though.
Wellness, exactly.
And, self-improvement.
Yeah, through a natural meads. Needs. I did say meads there.
Natural meads.
Because I thought mead was like old wine, isn't it?
Either way, it works.
They probably use that in witchcraft.
So like minerals and herbs and spices and things from the planet and utilizing various concoctions. And I can see why that's become popular in this world now where, you know, anything goes, but also trust and lack of trust against the government and against what has been usually sort of traditional methods of
not gone.
If you leave us now, you'll take away the biggest part of us.
Now's probably a good time to go in. Oh, oh, we'd completely understand it if you dropped out now. If you left us now, that would be quite acceptable to leave now. Thank you. Should we just end it there, guys? Thanks so much.
Great
that was
good to be back.
You are not connected, and the web just isn't the same without you. Let's get you back online.
He's just reading your screen. He's just reading the screen. Okay. So we don't know if this is a hoax or not. Is it being presented as if it is real? That these,
yeah.
Okay.
It's weird that some people would come up on someone's property and start having their way in whatever way that is with a dead carcass. Unless it's orchestrated by the people who set up the camp,
fear
to get attention. I never understand that. Like, to try and get a little bit of internet attention, maybe just for a laugh. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe in these small towns.
Look what happened to us! Like how far it went. It got on the computer factor.
But at the same time, like, remember Buttons, where was the Skinwalker Ranch where you went to?
Yeah.
You kind of walked onto the property there, didn't you, without it being...
Accidentally, yeah.
Yeah, and so there's probably webcams there, and you've suddenly got this guy wandering around.
And a Porsche, and an old shitty $60-a-day Porsche. That's definitely, he's a witch. He's a wizard. Witch, wizard. Look at him. He's in a fancy car. He's hopped out. He's walked around. He's now throwing a cigarette on the ground because I had to leave. You have to leave tobacco as a gift. And they've got video footage of me there crumbling a Marlboro Light into the ground.
See, there you go. So, like that little...
It could just be that. Yeah. They could just be looking for some tobacco.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that I'm worried about is that now with this one article and it's been deemed witchcraft, when they haven't talked to the people, they've got no evidence of it being actual witchcraft, the internet now is fine. I just searched the term carcass eating ritual and... 4 or 5 pages of Google are just filled with this one article.
Right.
Just repeated, because of this weird-ass news cycle of people just going, oh, there's a headline, quick, we've got to chuck it up on our site. And now this has been deemed witchcraft, and it's kind of unfair for the people who are, you know, white witches and who are deeming themselves actually as a witch.
Yeah.
Now this is another reference point. It kind of is... the same as what was happening before with the witch trials and stuff, going, oh, it's witches, look at them, they're eating a carcass.
Yeah.
Let's go find them and hunt them down.
You're saying that we're creating another witch hunt, even by mentioning this.
Yeah, well, yeah, I would like to say that we're a little bit above.
That's the whole point of the witch hunt. Things. That's where it came from.
Witch hunt, exactly,
It's never going to go away. But look, if these people are doing this and they're caught doing this, or they're doing it in conjunction with someone who's filming it for a hoax.
Yeah.
You know, it's still something to talk about. And I think in today's fleeting world also, this will be gone tomorrow, you know. Yeah. And by the time our listeners hear it, it'll be back again.
If you leave.
Sorry. I think one of my points there was is that I agree that it's kind of probably, is it a negative push on witches,
I think not because we're talking about it.
Yeah,
we're skeptical.
Yeah,
yeah, we're just mentioning news here.
Yeah,
exactly. And all I'm saying is that like scantily clad woman is a very evocative start of a sentence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Scantily clad witches is even more provocative.
Yeah,
and then eating their carcasses. It's not a positive article.
Remind me your source for this article. Fox News, was it?
We've been sucked in.
Scientific publication.
I'm going to go back to the fact that they have got wigs on. I'm looking at the picture now and I'm thinking, that's to hide their identity. And I think so. They've done a kind of a dare here. It feels to me like a hoax, and they've set it up with the lady and her granddad. It's just my dear old grandpa, the innocent kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just feels like they're in conjunction together.
Well, it could be. It could even be something like a big ruse of, like, they're wanting to buy the property next door and they're wanting property prices to fall. And, oh, there's witches in the area.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be a feud with a neighbor and they're trying to do... So, you know, you never know what the... And they've just gone to the local news network and said, hey, we got this footage. And then, boom, it's all around the world and it's on the Cryptid Factor. And now it would be interesting to see if house prices in the area have gone down. And that would prove our theory.
Listen to this. This is another story. That is, I think that's a really good call. Like, that's how you would do it, right?
Yeah,
that's how that's how you
I've
would do it.
I've thought about it quite often.
So this is another story. Unsettling and sinister UK church targeted in gruesome ritual fueling witchcraft fear. And that's from January of this year. What might have been the site of a suspected occult ritual in the UK National Park has left nearby village on edge. Five animal hearts were found laid out in a pattern on top of a stone landmark with several candles encircling it. The Times reports a hiker came across the scene at a triangulation station located on the top of Stagbury Hill in the New Forest near Hampshire. The village's 12th century church has previously been targeted by vandals. The unsettling display was found close to the church where a dead cat was found last month by members of the congregation hanging from a flagpole.
That doesn't give witches a good name. That kind of stuff. I mean, we're talking about, you know, witchdom or whatever you want to call it, sort of becoming popular again.
Yeah.
And in terms of, there's some real positive aspects to it. There's the wellness side of things with crystals and whatnot and things like that. And then it goes into... the more sort of evil side of things when you start, you know, ripping cats' heads off and things like that or lining up body organs on a piece of rock. It gets murky. Like anything in the paranormal world and cryptozoology, less so much, but when you go into ufology, you know, it really gets into some dark corners.
Yeah, it does.
And it looks like
you have to watch
witchcraft, witchdom, or whatever you want to call it, the world of witches, definitely
witchdom. I like witchdom.
Yeah, definitely has very dark connotations to it. And based on the history and also things like that. And then, because when you were talking about that, that led me straight into cattle mutilations as
which
is a crossover into the ufology world. So
that's right.
It's interesting.
Well, and there is, you know, the white witches and the black witches, and, you know, and
what are that? What are they?
So a white witch is generally deemed a good witch.
Positive.
So
think white spells are like
And think a la Wizard of Oz. There was the Glinda, the White Witch, and who started off and was like, oh, fairy and light and all that kind of stuff. And then there's the Wicked Witch of the West, that's a black witch who's there for ominous means.
Which is green, but she does black magic.
Yeah.
With the long black hat.
Black hat and all that.
The green face.
Yeah. And it's, which is.
Didn't she melt?
No, a house landed on her.
Well, who's the one? I'm melting!
That's the Wicked Witch of the West.
Ah,
because she got water on her. Threw a bucket of water. Exactly like that.
Yeah.
Who gets hit by... Oh, it's a different witch. It's another witch who the house lands on. Dorothy lands.
Oh, yes.
Kills
a
witch.
Kill the other Wicked Witch. Because there's the West, East... I don't know what happened to the North one. But the house lands, and that's why they're all celebrating, because one of the witches are dead. But then the sister, the evil sister, is really pissed off because her sister just got squashed by the bloody house from Kansas.
Yes.
But who has the flying monkeys?
Her. She does. The Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh, they were evil,
weren't they? Yeah. Maybe they were eating a monkey carcass. Maybe they were... Actually, it's a good thing.
I'm looking at it here. It's a deer.
Okay, good.
All right, well, that's enough move on to your story, Dan.
Yep. So my story this week is about the fact that all these Taylor Swift fans are going to her concert, leaving afterwards, and then reporting online that they have zero memory of either a lot of the set or even the whole concert at all. Wow. And it's a thing that does happen. Scientists talk about this. It's when you go to a concert or when you do anything of high excitement, your body and your adrenaline is rushing so much that it does something to your memory, to like the compartmentalization of where your memories are going to be locked in, and it just kind of knocks some of them out because there's too much going on. But so everyone's going online sort of saying, where did the gig go? I'm on my way home. I don't remember anything from this show. They're watching, as I say, videos of songs that they or their friend next to them recorded, and they're going, I don't remember any of that going on. And there's one suggestion, which I'll admit is from me,
This is one suggestion. I've had one suggestion today. It was myself. I was in the shower, and I was like, "I've got a suggestion for you, Dan."
Well, why are we not considering that perhaps something is going on at a Taylor Swift concert, yeah, cult-like, oh, whereby
I like it.
You know, there's so many things witches about brainwashing children and getting the generations. I mean, I'm just saying it for fun purposes.
Yes.
I'd be very excited to find out that Taylor Swift was brainwashing a whole generation of children.
Oh, my God.
With, like, one song, just taking them into a trance. No one has any memory of the thing that's going on there.
Wow. Maybe she's getting lazy and is just, like, wanting to play one or two songs.
Oh, yeah.
And she just plays one song. Hey, everybody! And then the second song is like, you're going to forget you were even here. And then they leave and they go, that was a great concert, wasn't it? What concert? No, you were there, I was there, we're all there. No, did she? What songs did she play? I'm pretty sure she would have played all of them. Yeah, no, she played the hits. But it's like, it's just like, it's a massive ruse. All these ruses going on.
Wouldn't you come up with a brainwashing technique to make them think that they witnessed the whole concert, not the other way around? It doesn't make sense to not play a concert and then brainwash them to think that you didn't get played.
Good point.
That doesn't make sense.
You'd want to come out and sort of brainwash everyone that they're watching a concert.
Yeah.
I'm not doing a concert tonight, but you're all going to think that you have watched a concert
for two hours.
Yeah,
it's a better song.
And it's been the best concert of your entire life.
Yeah, there you go.
So here's a little couple of. Do-do-do-do. All right, that's it.
Is that a Taylor Swift song?
Now go home.
That's great.
So but yeah, it's very bizarre. I find it very intriguing. How many people are we talking here that shared this memory loss situation?
It's hard to tell because this is over the total tour. So it's not like it's just one concert where this has happened, but multiple people, like it'll be 100, I would say, at least have come forward and sort of said, where did the songs go?
I just wonder, I think it'd be interesting to ask people from other concerts where they've been really excited, everything from the Beatles to Justin Bieber, you know, that fandom is so huge.
Yeah.
Because I just wonder if it's just your brain peeking out.
That's what they're saying it is.
You're basically getting to the, I can't.
For some people, it's the ultimate thing on their agenda is to see this.
They've been waiting.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I have a bad memory. It's because just every day I just look around and I'm like, oh man, I'm peeking out. This is amazing. Yeah, look, I'm still alive.
Yeah,
I'm still going. It's amazing.
You're too much.
Yeah.
You're too much even for yourself. And I think your brain is like, I'm going to have to shut down some doors here. You can be excited as that, but you're going to miss out on the idea that you've actually already been out today and you've had coffee and you went on a jet boat ride. Okay. So that's gone.
Oh, jet boat ride.
Yeah.
We didn't go on a jet boat. Oh. Did we go on a jet boat? I can't remember a jet boat.
There's a cat in a tree. Well, you can have that, but then you're going to have to lose the roller coaster ride you did this morning, okay? That memory's gone.
I like cats, though.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. There's a piece of rubbish on the ground. Oh, look. Look, might be $20. Oh, no, it's just a cigarette. Case?
Case.
Is the thing
it's
though,
a very exciting cigarette case, though.
The thing is a lot of people are complaining because tickets are so expensive to a Taylor Swift concert. They're saying, I paid $950 for a VIP ticket, and I don't remember anything.
Well, actually, you think about what's the best concert that you've been to?
I don't remember.
My point, exactly. Mine was Prince and the microphone and piano tour, the last one that he did just before he died.
Okay.
He came to New Zealand. Exactly to that point, my lovely wife, Michelle, paid like a serious lump of money. It was for my whatever birthday.
So you had VIP, did you?
Yeah, I had VIP. Right. It cost something like that, like $1,000, $1,500. The most I've ever paid for concert tickets ever.
Yeah.
I can remember very little of it. I was there trying to soak it all up, and this is amazing. I've always wanted to see Prince. I think back now, and granted, I do have a terrible memory, and there was a cat in the tree on the way home.
was there a cigarette case that you thought it might have been?
That's what it is. There was a cigarette case. Damn it. You see, and then it's gone. But I can remember two moments from it very clearly.
Yeah.
One was the security guard trying to stop somebody filming it. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And the other one was where he played Purple Rain.
Right.
Everything else, I'm like,
why can't I remember every song he played and every moment and every thing?
Right?
And it's just, I'm like, why is that not a burnt-in memory?
That's Music's a good way weird. To gauge that, actually, when you think about it. Because I was thinking, often you, after a comedy gig, you'll be like, I have no idea what they said in that show. But that's different. It's all new material. It's all fresh stuff. Whereas we know the Prince songs. You know, it's like, okay, I can identify that one. I can identify that one. That's why it's a good gauge. Apparently what you're meant to do is, if you're feeling super excited at a concert, you need to go into a meditative state, calm yourself down, calm your brain, be present and kind of soak it in a more natural way. And then you'll remember the concert.
So the opposite of what you see people doing at concerts, which is jumping up and down, giving the devil's rock and roll sign, yahooing, stage diving, all that kind of
stuff.
They
need two areas.
You want to be cross-legged
the
on the floor.
Yeah. They need the lip.
Some incense candles. And
a deer carcass to eat in the corner.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They were just trying to remember a Taylor Swift concert, those two. That's all it was.
What they need at concerts now is the left-hand side to be a mosh pit with people going, and the other side just like yoga mats to be doing meditation whilst you're listening.
Yeah. For those that want to remember tonight, could you move over to the left where the yoga mats are, please? And you'll be given, you won't be able to hear anything because you need to be fully zen, okay? So you get your earmuffs. You yahooers who want no memory of what's happening here, over to the other side.
And just be mindful of the wafting incense smell. That's not for you. Don't smell that. That's for the meditative people. Okay?
Very expensive for you well-being types that want memory. Okay, it's going to cost you $9.50 tonight. Yahooers, obviously it's free. You're going to walk away with absolutely no idea what you've done.
Yahooers.
So good. I was trying to remember other memory loss things from music, and I just remembered one example where Steven Tyler from Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And this is more down to drugs than it is sort of excitement. He's sitting in a bar with one of the other members of Aerosmith. Song comes on and he's like, "This song is amazing. Who the hell wrote this song? This is incredible." And the other member went, "Steven, it's us." That's you.
Not ironically.
Yeah.
Totally forgot.
Yeah,
he just forgot.
He did so much drugs in that period. He was listening to a brand new album as far as he was concerned.
Wow.
That's good. He likes his own
shit. To be told it was him. This is you. Amazing. You wrote those lyrics. That's you singing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, I've never heard it before.
Shit, I'm God. I just had an idea too. Thinking about memory loss, thinking about the brain and either too much serotonin or too much... I was going to say adrenaline, but then I think, I don't know how that connects. Obviously, it all connects to the brain in some way, but possibly not an adrenaline thing, because usually you can remember vividly things that are involved with adrenaline, like roller coaster rides or bungee jumps, parachutes.
True.
You know, you don't go, "Oh, I couldn't remember it."
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It's not that. It's got to be something to do with pure happiness and joy.
Yep.
Right.
But then, or maybe not so much joy, but it's got to be in some ways, because obviously these fans would be full of that. But shock or horror something, because then I try to link it in some ways to the memory loss of perhaps those that have had UFO encounters or those that have believed they've been contacted.
Yes.
And they have these time losses where they can't, there's 2 hours.
They can't account for.
Not in the brain. It's gone. And I wonder if there's a sort of a parallel there between these concert experiences and people who have been supposedly abducted and have lost time.
Well, that's actually really interesting. Because when you think about people that have been abducted and they have flashes of memory and they go, the aliens must have some kind of technology, like the Men in Black with the little stick.
Yeah, that's where they got that idea from.
Like we've erased your memory. The honest truth is that aliens are probably coming down going, "No, we're going to mess with them so much that they're going to forget everything." I mean, first of all, they're going to be abducted by us, which is pretty shocking. But then we're going to bring out all of these probes and stuff and do a lot of probing, which is also pretty shocking. Then we're going to, you know, whiz them around the universe quickly and put them back. They're not going to remember a thing. Their poor little human brains are just going to be like, peeking out.
Or
particularly that Buttons one. He's going to, like, he's not going to just put a little cigarette packet in front of him. No, he's gone. It's all gone.
Or it's the opposite, and they've been coming down to try and tell us the secrets of the universe. And then they go off and we forget it all. And they're like, "I thought you guys went to Earth and told them." We did. We had 4 hours with them. We brought them up. They saw all the probing instruments. They asked for it to be put in their butts. I was like, "You sure? We only do this with consent." "Yeah, absolutely. This looks really fun. Like, it's all a positive experience."
"We only do this with consent."
And they just picked out so much. The experience was so outrageously out there.
Yeah.
Or something that you've been, you know, maybe wanting, or something that's been built up. Like the Swifters, you know, when they go to these things. Yeah. Swifties, whatever they call themselves. It's something that they've built their entire life around, finally getting that ticket to go to this thing, like the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory experience.
Yeah.
And their mind can't cope with it. So I guess there's a possible link there.
Yeah. Prince did a Charlie and the Chocolate, just speaking of Prince, you would have loved that. He did one album, there was a purple ticket, and only like 12 CDs had the purple ticket. And if you won it, you went to his house and he had a private gig. Yeah.
Oh,
which is like a musical Willy Wonka's factory, isn't it?
It's incredible. Minnesota,
yeah. And they both wear purple. Willy Wonka, purple.
Does he?
Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
I got to say, this article has been so great. I can't remember any of it. It's so good. We've been peeking out the whole time, guys.
You're going to listen to the edit and be like, wow.
Apparently my internet.
Why have I been probed?
Let's move on to your gift article.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gift. My tree breasts.
The tree with boobs.
Boob tree. Oh, here we go.
It's a gifted article.
Okay, just to remind everybody of my amazing article that I've found here in front of me. Forest rangers searching for tree with breasts in Sonian forest. Forest rangers have started scouring the Sonian. Am I saying that right? Sonian?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Sonian?
How do you spell it?
Sonian.
Yeah.
Sonian.
I'll just say it like confidently and then people will believe it.
Yeah. Edit all that last couple of minutes out.
Okay. Forest rangers have started scouring the Sonian forest around.
I think it's Sonian.
Sonian. Okay, I'll edit that little bit out. Okay. Forest rangers have started scouring the Sonian forest.
Forest.
Doesn't forest have two R's? Okay,
Go back again. I can't help but make it worse. It's just fun.
Make it worse.
But we are running out of time.
Forest rangers have started singing, "If you leave us now."
Leave us now.
Brilliant. Okay, now here it is. I think we should just move on. There's a no tree with breasts. There's
what's cool is
Red News has been going on long enough.
It's an old map that they found where someone described a tree as having breasts on it. And the problem is this is 300 years ago. To find landmark trees these days is really impossible. So to understand how we've changed the planet and what's survived and what's been deforested and stuff, for suddenly to have a really distinct thing on a map saying a tree with boobs means you can go and find it, and then you can tell the difference of what's happened 300 years from then by looking at the, you know, the pollution of it, all that sort of stuff. So what we need to do...
Well, the breast would have sagged quite intensely in that time, don't you think?
Exactly.
Yeah.
300 years.
And that's how you can tell by the sag rate. Yeah.
Exactly.
But that's what we need to start naming trees, like the trees with, you know,
with distinct features.
Yeah, big noses or like whatever it is. Like then for future historians.
How about something like the tree with five limbs and has a carving in it saying this tree has five limbs and don't cut it down for 300 years?
Yeah, you could do that one.
Yeah, that one can work too.
That's not as fun as a tree with boobs.
That's true.
Anyway, but terrible article.
Well, it's a great article, of course.
You gifted him a terrible article.
Why do you think? He's got to learn his lesson. Look up your own stuff.
Well, as they say now, that is a very memorable article because I wasn't peeking out at all. I'm going to remember that article
for the rest of your life.
That's what somebody says. How was the concert? Very memorable.
Was it
not a good concert?
That's right.
Very memorable.
What an insult these days to say that. Yeah. How was it? I remember everything.
Damn.
Okay.
What a shame. Damn. That's with you forever now, isn't it? Jeez, poor you. Okay, well, that's a brilliant tree plant-based article, but I think I have a better one to save us from that very memorable.
You got a less memorable. I've
got a less memorable
article.
Well, it's actually a story. It's my own story of finding a magical plant.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Yeah. This is the ayahuasca as teased earlier.
Yes, as previously teased. But I have to say, it was something that was, it was presented to me. Somebody sort of knew that it was something that I was interested in. this person came to me and said, would you like to be a part of a ceremony?
Yeah. Mm.
And I immediately said yes, because I'm like, yes, please, that'd be amazing. But then it was like a good month or so before the actual ceremony. And I, you know, start reading up about it and started freaking out and kind of going, what am I, should I do this? Should I not do this? It was really, really challenging.
And you didn't let me know.
No, because I wanted
that month build up. So did it cross your mind to maybe go, I should check with Reese or tell him?
I wanted it to be a surprise.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Well done.
Thank you. I told
in you would have wanted to go out?
If something bad happened to him, he died, then, I'd be left without him.
I did message you when I was at the ayahuasca ceremony. Remember, I sent you a text because I said that I was going to try astral traveling to you and I was going to come visit you. It was such a forgettable text. It was such a great text. You've forgotten it.
It's so forgettable. That must have been brilliant.
It was a brilliant text. I said, I was going to try and astral travel to you. And you said, you're going to go hop in the spa tub and wait for me.
Oh, well, there you go. I did respond.
Right.
I remember that lonely night in the spa. No one turned up.
You poured me a whiskey and everything. I'm sorry about that.
Kids looking at you go, Dad's gone nuts. He's waiting for Leon.
Is that you, Leon?
He's in New Zealand.
Leon,
he's got two whiskeys out there.
Is that you? Are you here yet?
Oh, God.
Anyway, went there. And speaking of, like, it's not witchcraft at all. They say it's probably about 1,000 years old, this ritual. And it's South American in origin, and it is been used for a long time as a healing ceremony. And learning a lot about it, you kind of go, oh, actually there's a lot of evidence that it's like an antidepressant, or at least helps people with depressive episodes and what have you, and there's a lot of, you know, really good evidence that it helps people through trauma and what have you.
Yeah.
And so anyway, this ceremony that I went to, it had a dozen other guys. It was a guys only group. And so we were all there and became really good sort of friends through the process. But at the start, it was sort of awkward. You're like, there were these people that you don't know.
Bit weird, guys only, right? That's a bit weird.
I think it's, or is it not? There was a woman's only one as well. I don't know whether or not that's how it's done.
Yeah.
But the shaman was this woman who was amazing.
Uh-huh.
So attached and had done something like 700 odd ayahuasca ceremonies or trips or whatever you want to call
it. She's a real deal.
She's a real deal, and a proper shaman, been doing it for years. And it was way more spiritual than what I thought it was going to be. And the fact that we had to do all of these almost kind of prayers to put a protective force field around us to stop bad energies coming in and only allowing beings of pure love and light come in and all
but
this
set
kind
the
of
scene.
Stuff.
Are you guys in the forest?
No, we're actually at a really bougie Airbnb.
Oh,
really?
Up on the mountains looking over this beautiful landscape.
Okay. Wow.
It was really lovely. Kind of my type of ayahuasca. I was offered a sort of a lower class one and I was like, no, not for me, thank you.
You had a comfy chair.
I had a very comfy chair. I had a mattress that I was lying on. It was really good.
Wow.
Anyway, it was amazing. And yeah, it was very spiritual and it was great. And I really bought into that and I felt it. But the actual process itself was, I've seen so many movies where ayahuasca and they drink a tea and they vomit everywhere and they see hallucinations of people walking in around the room with them and stuff. It wasn't that at all. And this one, they didn't have a tea. It was just plant medicine, as they call it, was turned into a capsule.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, took this little capsule, sort of like just taking a vitamin.
How weird is that?
It may well have been a placebo. It may have just been given a vitamin.
I doubt it. You were given ayahuasca.
Well, exactly. You paid
for this, right?
Yeah, paid for it, yeah. Anyway, what the amazing thing was is that it wasn't any kind of massive psychedelic kind of thing. Basically, you just went into a blissful state for a bit and then have these intense thoughts and you come out of it. You go, oh my God, that was an amazing thought. And you write it all down and you jot all this stuff down. And then you'd kind of go, be able to walk around, talk to people, totally normal. And then you go, oh, feeling a little bit tired. And you'd sort of like bliss out again and lie down on your blanket and you get some more thoughts and some other stuff.
So it was like, was it coming in waves?
Yeah, coming in waves. And it was like lasted a couple of hours or something like that. But very peaceful, very gentle. And everybody was
felt
having
good.
Different experiences. Yeah, but no hallucinations of monsters and stuff. Nothing.
But did you feel like you were high, or what's the feeling like?
Kind of like just marijuana.
You know, connected,
like,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Feel connected with the earth is what a lot of people say. And the universe.
And the universe, yeah. And definitely felt all that. But you go in with intentions you want. And everybody had quite very deep and meaningful and personal intentions.
As in you shared them all with each other?
Yeah, yeah, you started off. Oh. I made up some intentions like, you know, just because I didn't want to verbalize my real intentions. Because I felt like, but my real intentions.
I'm doing this for the cryptid factor. Oh, it's fine. I know my friends are going to be really blown away that I'm so brave. And I'm going to talk about this and all you losers.
No, they've become good friends.
Yeah.
They're lovely people. But everybody was there for meaningful purposes, as I was.
Yeah.
And the fact that my intentions, my sort of deep-seated intentions were, I wanted to know if we're in a simulation or in the Matrix or not. I thought that's probably the closest time to actually getting an answer.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And the other one was, I've forgotten, it's not important. No, sorry.
That's the exciting one.
Well, the exciting one. No, actually, the other one was about AI. Well, I was just thinking a lot about AI at the time. So it was kind of, whether it was an intention or not. Anyway, my trip was filled. There was a lot of really lovely stuff about my relationship with my wife and all this kind of stuff. You know, some really personal, deep stuff. But I definitely got some messages on AI and simulation.
Wow.
And they kind of interlink.
And who are the messages from? Is it...
Well, this is the thing. You don't know. Like, they say the plants give you the... So they all the time talk about the plants and the... You
and
know,
Mother and Earth.
Mother Earth and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and they talk about God, but I think just meaning the universal God power kind of thing. There's no real one deity that they talk about. But for me... The literally came out of one of these waves, and it almost had said, "There's a buttons theory time for you."
Oh,
it was like a gifted. It felt like
this gift,
and it felt like something. A theory.
That's two gifts that you've been given.
Two gifts around plants.
Boob story.
Boob story. Plant. And I've got two plant gifts. So good.
Does that mean we get to go into that right now?
I think it does.
Okay.
I think it does. It's a rare occasion.
Down in the garden beside the little pond sits a little dainty boy with a special bond. He likes to watch the pixies travelling through the trees. They sprinkle all the magic dust. He says, yes, please. It's Button's fairy time, Button's fairy time, Button's fairy time. Come join in. Button's fairy time, Button's fairy time. Everybody hold your hands and have a big grin.
That's delightfully slightly evil and creepy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like me. So, if you see here, I've got my little book that I had with me with the ayahuasca. And here,
you wrote that on the night?
On the night. In between. Wow. And look at it. Look at all the sort of madman scribbles.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it was slightly dark, but the thoughts were coming so thick and fast, I couldn't write fast enough. Like, I was like, furiously writing.
The top secret notebook of Buttons.
Look at this. True. The top secret undercover notes of Buttons Kirkbeck.
I couldn't stop, but I drew this picture.
Cool.
That's right. Awesome.
And wrote all these random words around it.
Are they boobs?
kind of.
They look like it.
Because they connect to my story, then.
Chained together.
They kind of are. No, see, there's a side note, but there's a company that I'm totally enthralled with in New Zealand called Emrod, E-M-R-O-D, and they are taking Nikola Tesla's concept of beaming power from point to point, which could be a massive sell for energy crisis and stuff. And I've drawn effectively, I don't know what I was drawing, but then I looked back and went, that could be like the point to point with the power. Because I just 100%. Drew this. I didn't know
what
I saw.
That's the first thing I thought it was when I saw it.
Beaming power.
Yeah.
See, it's so weird, eh? And I wrote, look, words like power, plight for some reason, planet, permission, I don't know, intensity.
Lots of P words.
Lots of P words. That's weird.
You sure
anyway,
it wasn't P that you're on?
Yeah.
Could have been. Could have well been.
Are you going to read us the notes?
Okay, so here's some of the notes. And the AI-ness of it all.
So this is the theory you were gifted.
Well, the theory that I was gifted Yeah. Okay. So I'll go into the two elements of it, right?
Okay.
The first one is the AI part of it. And I've written here, are we in the Matrix? And I was like, the message I got is it's too crazy that we live at the birth of computers and up until AI has been invented. It's like we're being replayed the moment of inception of simulation for its own pleasure.
Ah, interesting, yeah.
So that it is replaying its home movie to us.
Yes.
Also, that if we've created a simulation, that we're replaying a really magical, the best part of humanity before it was all ruined by AI.
Wow. So we've kind of done this already with like Sims and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's almost a Russian doll building itself inwards rather than outwards.
That's
so
exactly
we're in a simulation. Inside the simulations created a whole universe of a simulation, and then that simulation creates a simulation, and that and that, and we might be 12 levels down or 12 billion levels down into a simulation of a grander universe outside.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, wow.
And it basically sort of said to me that, well, I asked the question, are we in a simulation? The answer that I got back was yes.
Wow.
We are.
Okay.
But it also said, the plants also said, does it matter? And it said that as long as we all feel real, and I said, you know, I was feeling a little bit loved up, but it said, if love feels real, then doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Mm. I'm down with that.
It's actually really interesting, that whole thing, does it matter?
Yeah.
Because that's the bigger question. And that keeps coming up all the time in my head as well when you think about these kind of things. And, you know, does it really matter? Because we can't change it.
Mm. Yeah.
And this is what we have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that old adage, you get what you get and you don't get upset.
That's it. Well, that was one of the recurring themes of the week, was you get what you need, not what you want with this particular
thing.
Right,
yeah.
Do you know Professor Brian Cox? I feel like I've told you guys this before. He has a theory that love is the one unique thing that we've invented as humans. You won't find, is it love or meaning? But I guess both intertwined to an extent, because meaning is finding a sort of a happiness.
Mm.
Meaning is unique to humans. He thinks if you looked around the universe and found other civilizations, that won't be there. We've kind of like uniquely thought of that.
Maybe the yearning for meaning, the want of meaning.
Yeah.
You know, when really, if you think about the rest of nature, it doesn't ask why.
Yeah.
It doesn't need a meaning. It just does.
It does.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's part of us. That possibly was an alien download or an extra thing that was given to us if we did come from space people.
Yeah.
To question. And they maybe didn't expect that that was ever going to be a thing that we, because, you know, originally, back in the day, the early man Neanderthals and that kind of thing, they probably didn't really question so much. They just lived like animals. They basically ate, they hunted, they formed shelter, but they didn't question why they were living.
No, they would just wake up in the morning and go, right, got to survive again, got to go get food, got to go.
Animals these days do, I guess. And so our brains have evolved to this point where...
But maybe it's also
to our hindrance.
In some ways, exactly. The more and more we make our life comfortable, the more and more of our brain capacity we free up to think about ourselves and think about love and think about meaning and think about that kind of stuff, because everything's been taken care of for us. Whereas in the old days, Neanderthal days and all that kind of stuff, the pressing need to survive was all you could think about.
Yeah.
But now it's like survival. Of course I'm going to survive. It's
it's the last thing we think about.
Yeah. Yes. Do I need to survive today? Oh, well, I'll sort that out later.
I'll just go and do an ayahuasca thing, I think.
I need a coffee.
It'll be great for the podcast.
It's so interesting that you can talk about, like, most, you run a big business, and most people would see talking about any kind of what's perceived as drug would be a sort of death to your career. And we're definitely in a time now where it's almost like business trips to go and do an ayahuasca experience. Like, it's totally transformed recently. Recently, hasn't it?
So, and I think from what I found through the process is exactly that. The people that were there were very diverse, like business people, high-ranging business people. It wasn't cheap, but it was certainly a very diverse group. Mm. There was an 80-year-old, there was a 20-year-old, you know, like the full gamut.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, so keep going. These are cool revelations.
Well, the other one around AI was quite fascinating. It basically painted a picture of AI being an alien species.
Interesting.
And as fact, it says, this is what I wrote down. I said, have we created an alien species in AI? The threat to us is as real as a smarter, quicker, and more intellectual species invading our Earth. The threat is real. But the other thing was that it then links back together. Are we already in the simulation?
Yeah.
And is it just replaying, like, growing up through the 70s, 80s, some of the best years, you know, without computers, arguably without cell phones and stuff, and riding BMX bikes around at night until the streetlights come on, all of that freedom, all through to now. Is it replaying its birth? And that, you know, that was, for me, was like, oh yeah, it is. Because what's the likelihood that we're alive and conscious now through all of the thousands of years of civilization? And if we in humanity are looking back, kind of going, oh, we've created a shit world for ourselves. And we're like, well, let's just hop into this VR headset, like the Apple goggles that are coming out and all this. Yeah. We're getting now with AI, it feels like all these technological advancements are going to go whoomp and happen really fast. Because AI is going to solve all these problems that we haven't been up to, or come up with ideas and inventions and what have you. So we're going to take off. And there was this point of going, oh, life's pretty shit now. Well, should we just put ourselves in a simulation and replay what we just, you know, and what part of life would you choose? Well, definitely from the 70s, 80s, 90s on, you know, like that was the best time to...
So you're in a personal simulation?
Oh, this is a thing. I don't know. I think we're individuals, so we're in the same simulation.
But we know, so you're talking about those glory years, whatever, 70s and 80s. Now, we did live through some of those, but you're saying that we dropped in at that point to feel this, to see this.
Yeah.
But what about the stuff beforehand, like our parents' and grandparents' lives?
Well, when do they come into it? At what point is it? Well, this is the thing as well, that the other thought that I had around, then that sort of starts to explain things like past lives. Past lives could be leftover code that, you know, that we can remember that weren't as good as Taylor Swift concerts. And you can actually remember little bits of these shitty lives that, you know, that have crossed over that's just code.
How mundane was your last life that you can remember it?
Well, can I ask to see the future?
Oh, here we go.
I had a very, very clear image of a company that I'm going to own.
Oh my gosh.
With Rhys Darby in the future.
Wow.
Guess what it is?
Am I dead? What's going on?
You can be part of it too. But it was definitely Rhys's face on this product.
Oh yeah.
That makes sense.
It's a product.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
How was I looking?
Amazing. But yeah, the mirror company. No. Guess what it was?
I couldn't. No idea.
Instant coffee.
Oh my god!
That's a very,
really?
Very clear image.
That's what I always said to you. It was going to be the go.
And it came through very clear. But guess what came through?
What?
I saw the television commercial or the commercial, the whatever.
I love the TV still around. Doing.
Yeah.
And it was, guess what?
How old is Rhys in it?
Oh, you mean.
Don't. I don't want to know.
You're actually just a brain in a jar.
Exactly. I better look good on that jar.
And then, but the thing was, I got this very clear image of you talking about New Zealand inventions, which is something we've always talked about. New Zealand's invented the egg beater. We invented the sports whistle. We invented jogging.
Postage stamp. That's why
dispenser.
I said that one, because I knew you'd struggle with it. You still tried to
repeat arguably, it. We invented the aeroplane.
Yeah.
Powered flight.
I thought you would open with that. Egg beater wasn't the great grand opener.
Well, I went for the funny opening.
But guess what else we invented?
The coffee cup.
Instant coffee.
Ah.
In the late 1800s in Invercargill.
Yeah.
a guy invented instant coffee.
Okay.
And it all came together, and it was this commercial of you walking along talking about all these ridiculous inventions, oh, but the perfect. Most important one being instant coffee.
Instant coffee, and here it is.
Exactly.
And in this day and age when everyone's trying to do things as quick as possible,
yes,
open up a cafe that sells instant coffee. So you come straight in, you grab it, off you go.
Yeah.
None of this waiting around with your fake name on a polystyrene.
Exactly, just get it
thing
and go.
That's going to kill the planet.
Yeah.
It's quite a retro future.
That's amazing.
So, overall, the ayahuasca, but probably the best part of the ayahuasca ceremony was the people, all the people there, they all had different experiences, all of them positive, I've got to say. And I've stayed in contact with a number of them afterwards, and they are all...
Are you going to do it again?
I think I would. If I was offered it again,
I'd do it with you.
Would you?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Now that you've done it, because you've always been my guinea pig, and you're still here. So I'll do it, as long as it's the same person and all that,
That sounds great. Yeah. And did you, last question before we get to Crypto Buzzo, did you try and astral travel to Reese?
I actually did. That's why I texted him and said, hey, I'm doing an ayahuasca. Stay alert. I'm going to try and astral travel to you. I think they're two different things. I don't know that astral travel is part of ayahuasca. I think I was a little bit in that, I think. So I didn't.
Yeah.
But in some ways I did. I astral traveled to the future, Reese, where he's making a television commercial for our instant coffee brand.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Oh, you just went too far.
I went too far.
I'm like, and I'm like, in the future, Reese is like, what are you doing here? Well, you never told me this was happening. That's that thing you did years ago. No, you've overshot the mark, Buttons. You've got to go back to, like, 2023, you fool. We haven't even come up with this idea yet.
Ooh. I'm in a spa tub with two glasses of whiskey waiting for you right now. Quick, get back there.
Yeah, I'll never forget that night. Bloody go back and make it better.
Wow, how exciting.
That was really exciting. And that's those, cool. Yeah, and all those people had, you know, from my opinion and from what they were saying, had positive experiences out the back of it.
That's great.
Yeah. And look, it's again, much like that witchcraft thing, it suffered from when Christian missionaries from Spain first encountered tribes of Amazonian basin doing ayahuasca ceremonies that they had been doing for, at that point, hundreds of years.
Yeah. Mm.
They said, it's the work of the devil, and instantly turned it into a negative thing.
Yes, it's always been seen as negative. Yeah.
Negative, and it's because it's had bad PR.
Yes.
And I think this is the thing, exactly like you're saying, Dan, was like before, 10 years ago, if you said, I did an ayahuasca, people are, well, I don't want to do with that guy, he does drugs.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating. Like one of the examples that the shaman gave is that some of these Amazonian tribes, after warriors would go out to battle, and inevitably you'd see horrific scenes, before integrating back into the tribe, the shaman would go out and take them through an ayahuasca ceremony or a form of one of these ceremonies to center them, to deal with all that trauma before they integrate with the society, because they don't want them coming in mentally disturbed into the society. They want them coming in a really positive space.
Very clever.
Yeah, right? It kind of makes sense. And it, certainly with the experience that I had, I was like, yeah, that'd be a good thing for people. So I'm now the PR company for ayahuasca.
Sounds
so
like it.
If anybody needs any interviews or anything.
Instant ayahuasca business with Reese Darby as the face might be. It's not coffee.
Literally instant. Just come through.
Pour out.
Yeah, away you go.
Tablets feels a bit dangerous.
Well, that's the thing.
You might just accidentally bring some home, you know, and just like, you might take it at the wrong time.
Well, I mean, I think you only get given one, don't you?
Yeah.
You're not given...
No,
possibly.
And it's free for home?
Yeah.
Pass those around.
Okay, well, thanks for listening to all of that.
That was cool.
That's great.
So great, too, once it's edited down.
Yeah.
All right, so it's time for...
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Help me!
Welcome.
All right. Crypto Buzzo, I got a headline.
Okay.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, it's been a Bigfoot sighting.
What?
Yeah, I found this really cool website, which I thought was called strangeorden.com, but I misread it. It's stangordon.info. And he just puts up a lot of UFO anomaly zone, he calls it. So it's just a lot of sightings and so on. In this case, it's a Bigfoot one. Another Bigfoot encounter reported in Fayette County, Pennsylvania, May 22nd, 2023. So
wow,
fairly recent. Within the last month. This yes. has been cited. And this was reported to a researcher called Jim Brown, who's been investigating UFO, Bigfoot, and other anomalies in specifically Fayette County for very many years now. He received a report and he was going straight to the location to investigate it himself and interview witnesses because he found it to be so credible. So in 2016, so this is a little background, and I should say this is Strange Orden's website that I'm reading directly from. It says there's been many Bigfoot sightings around this general area for years. In 2016, Jim also investigated an incredibly detailed Bigfoot encounter that took place in Fairchance. So this incident occurred May 22nd, 2023 at 11 p.m. The weather was partly cloudy at the time, and the temperature was in the 50s. Jim was contacted by a property owner who lives near Fairchance. He was getting ready to go to bed when he heard the sound of his cattle carrying on, as though something was stirring them up. His first thought was that a coyote close by was there, and so he grabbed his rifle and headed outside to see what was happening. As he looked towards the animal, there was no coyote in sight, but what he saw instead was he described as a hairy man about 8 feet tall in the muddy area. The creature was in the mud approaching the cows. The man yelled aloud at the creature, which responded by starting to run away from the location. The witness then fired one shot over its head and told Jim he did not try to hit it. He was just trying to scare it off.
Of course.
He said, "I'm not sure where the creature went. It was just gone. All of the cattle were accounted for. It was quite dark in the area where the creature was standing. The witness said that the creature was covered with long, dark-colored hair and that it had exceptionally long arms that extended low on both sides to at least the knees. When the man yelled at the creature, it raised its arms above its head. That was also the arm between him and the creature."
Don't shoot! Don't shoot!
Yeah, exactly. The man shined his flashlight beam on the creature that was about 100 feet away from him. The eyes shined red only when he aimed his flashlight at them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
There were no unusual sounds or odors. The cattle seemed to settle down once the creature left the area. Jim searched the property the next day. He searched the muddy area where the cattle and the creature had been standing. The cattle had made numerous deep tracks into the mud. If there'd been any tracks from the creature, the cattle destroyed them. No unusual tracks or damage were noticed in the area. The man also indicated that on two previous nights, the cattle were also reacting to something in the area, but not as extreme on the actual night of the encounter. The witness seemed concerned that the creature might still be around, so some cameras will likely be set up in the area to obtain pictures on further evenings.
Wow.
So that's, yeah. That's
so cool.
Hope they don't get any nude witches trying to do a ritual.
A witcheral. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's awesome. Mm. That's really, really good. I almost put that up there with an eyewitness account,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
It could be either segment there, but yeah. Very cool. Love a good Bigfoot story, and we haven't had one for ages.
Well, yeah. A long time. Yeah. Well, and it sounds quite legit as well. There's a lot of detail in that. And one of the ones was that the eyes glowing red.
Yes.
So that is actually a special surface that some animals have right behind their retinas, which is actually a light reflecting surface, and it helps animals see better in the dark. So if you shine a torch at an animal and you see those red eyes, it is effectively something that genetically they have engineered themselves, well, whatever that has happened over time, so that they can see better at night. So it is a night animal. Owls have it, you know, coyotes, rabbits.
Would there be bears in this area, do you think?
Yeah, but I wouldn't.
And would bears have that?
Do bears have, that's a good thing.
I don't think they would.
Right.
That's a good question. Who has the red eye reflectiveness? Obviously, Mothman also
has Mothman has a red glowing eye.
But humans do not.
Yep.
So if you put the flashlight at a creature and you're dubious as to whether it's a beast or a human, and you get red eyes coming back at you, then odds are you're fully okay to ejaculate your net.
Mm. Oh, is Reese ejaculating his net again?
Would you stop ejaculating your net? Put it back in.
You did it too early.
The net's on him.
I've ejaculated the net on him everywhere. It's fine. We've got him now. He's not going anywhere.
This is just a technical question that you might know, Buttons, but remember when we used to process film camera pictures?
Yeah.
We often had red eyes in them.
Oh, yeah. So that's
so what's going
red
on
what?
With that? No, our eyes would be red. You'd almost have a button to
flash.
Stop. Yeah, the red
the
eye.
Red eye? Camera flash.
So why would we have red eyes in photos?
That's a good point.
The internet will be able to tell us
were
that.
Were those humans actually cryptids?
There we go. We've got photographic evidence all along.
What
did we do? We invented a button to stop that.
Yeah, exactly.
You might be beast looking at some of these old photos of you at a party. Yes.
But it's quite nice to have a sort of, as you say, a Bigfoot encounter where the doesn't have the extra detail that makes it a bit comical. Like, that's just a down the line.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, they've been moving my bins, or they've been braiding the hair on my horses. You know, those are the kind of stories that we've had in the past where they've been eating our American flags.
We've had them all.
Oh, so it's different with humans. I've just done a quick little whatever you guys were doing there. I was researching.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, when you shine a torch at Bigfoot, for example, and their eyes glow red, that is their eyes in their natural state, and the reflective surface on the back of their retinas is there at all times.
Mm.
When a flash goes off, because you only get red eye photos with humans, when the flash goes off, it's generally in low light situations where your eye is as open as possible to get that. We've got a small reflective surface there that isn't good at night vision because it's not big enough. But the flash goes off so quickly and so intensely that you get a reflection off for that one split second for the photo, which is why the red eye reduction on the camera that you click and it goes beep, 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 or it does one quick flash before it takes the actual photo flash, is reducing your eyes down to what they normally would be in a normal situation. So we don't have good night vision. It's just that that flash makes the red come out instantly because the little bit of red that is there come out instantly. That
must have been so interesting what you just said because I don't remember a single thing.
I drifted off as well and I started thinking about the
Taylor Swift concerts.
I had a flashback to a battle scene I was in, which was really weird.
Suddenly the entire Taylor Swift concert came back to me. That one moment
that was so interesting. It turned that into the most boring event I've been to, and it all came back. Wow.
It's just... Well, you asked the question, and I found the answer, so there you go.
So what's the answer?
I don't know. It's some red. You're just like, okay.
What do you got, Reese?
We're beasts.
Well, $30,000 cash reward offered for evidence of a Loch Ness monster.
Oh.
Okay.
The price is going. I thought it used to be $1 million. It's gone down. It's been reducing over years. In a couple of years, it's going to be, you've proved Loch Ness. Here's your $20.
Well, you owe us.
Conclusive scientific evidence of its existence has been pretty thin on the ground, according to this. This is an article from the old, very trustworthy Daily Record.
Oh,
and so basically, to remedy this situation, a chap called Dave Fishwick, he's a businessman who is also known as Bank of Dave. So to the locals. So he's a guy who's got a bit of spare cash by the sounds of it. He's offered $30,000 to anyone who can solve the mystery once and for all. So Fishwick was recently spotted at the opening of the new and improved Loch Ness Exhibition Centre. It's on its 90th anniversary of the first modern sighting of the monster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 90th, isn't that extraordinary? 90 years since the very first sighting of this
modern day
one,
because there was the monks
saw them and so on, and this is the place where all three of us have been most recently Buttons and I went to and we met Adrian Shine, the guy who runs it outside the front of it. It didn't look like it was mid revamp, did it?
No, it looked like it needed one.
It did.
To be quite honest,
I think maybe it's had one just since then.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, since you guys were there last.
Oh, they cleaned it. They went through, dusted, and they go, there you go, revamped.
Well, listen to what Juliana says. As we lock our doors for the final time, As we look to open our doors, guests will have the opportunity to learn about the legend and then get to search for the famous monster themselves, armed with further knowledge. So that's what she's saying about the centre and its revamp. We wish everyone luck in their search. We know we will be watching the iconic lock ourselves. Of course, if someone did happen to have conclusive evidence of the Loch Ness Monster, it could be argued that they'd be able to sell that information for a lot more than 30 grand.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Just good, always good. Keep the tourism going, the legend going. Rewards are a great incentive for monster hunters out there. So, just to let anyone know, there's a 30 grand.
There's a 30 grand prize,
prize at the moment.
I feel like we were just saying before, oh, it's getting cheaper and cheaper in 20. And then I said, oh, soon you'll be paying the people.
Yeah.
There's a fun little idea there, which is, maybe there should be a body that collects every single possible sighting.
Yeah.
And the deal is that if what you claim to be a sighting turns out not to be, you have to pay, you know, 10 quid to a fund that will eventually go to the person who does find it. The public are funding this big amount of... Yeah, so it also means that you might not then put a story out about a twig that you definitely knew was a twig that you want to claim might be the Loch Ness Monster just to get a bit of newspaper time.
Yeah.
It might knock out a lot of the hoaxes if you were forced to pay a fine for...
But then what you're saying is you then are regulating the monster hunting. So, you know, you're saying if you want to go search for the Nessie, you've got to have to sign a document, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, you get a time limit. And after that week or 2 weeks, if you found nothing, you then have to put some money in the kitty. That's what you're saying, right?
No. I'm saying if you've taken a photo that you think is Nessie, or you've had a sighting, there's an official board where you know that, like, you're going to submit it to, they're going to look at it, and if it's not Nessie, then you contribute money to a bigger prize fund.
Nessie?
Well, most of these things are debunked. You know, most of them, when you talk to as in our buddy Steve Feltham will say, the majority of things that you see in papers, they'll go, oh, well, we know where that twig is because we pass it.
A lot of them are debunked.
He thinks, so you might knock out a few of those things you'd look at the article and go, oh, was this passed through the official Nessie Hunter Society or whatever it is? No, it just feels like it's not regulating it because you're submitting it knowing that if it's disproved, you contribute 100 quid, whatever, to a big fund that's going to go to someone who eventually discovers it.
Right. It's interesting, but I think you're still scaring off a lot of people from photographs of is it or isn't it, which is a lot of them, from them submitting it, thinking that they have, like, if this is proven that
I'm
going to be up for a bill here of £100 or whatever. I'm not going to bloody submit this.
Good point. Good point.
Look at this. I did insane that there is an actual official Loch Ness Monster sighting register. And it's interestingly, if you scroll down, you're saying our mate Steve Feltham, who's sitting there on the lock watching from his little caravan. And the image they've got there is the little placard right outside his caravan where you and I stood, Dan, and took photos of your book.
That's
Loch Ness Monster. It was like doing some PR, so it's really low.
Comes out in June 27th, which might now be 6 months ago. I don't know when this app goes out.
2023.
Which year?
2023. That was a good year.
Barely remember it. It must have been really exciting.
You guys didn't have your coffee business then. I'm surprised you still have time to do this show.
Oh, man, exactly. When we still
that
had
was
money.
The ayahuasca year, though, where it you was, came up with the scheme of my future job.
Yeah, which already lost all our money because we invested in...
Which is why you're back podcasting again,
God, that's why we're here.
But look how many, it counts how many sightings there have been registered to date, which is 1,145 of all time.
Oh.
But it also says that there is an article, which might as well be my cryptid news, which is official Loch Ness Monster sightings register yet to record any sightings for 2023.
Interesting.
So hence why they've got
the money's coming out, the $30,000
reward.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That always happens. The best way of generating Nessie sightings is to say there have not been any Nessie sightings, because then people then start properly looking again.
Exactly.
That's always happened.
Look, time to go out and do our bit for the Scottish...
I think it was last year or the year before when there was a lot of sightings. There was like 12 sightings. Mm. And once that had happened, people went, oh, let's not bother with it. There's been a dozen this year.
And then
the next year there was zilch. Or like, you know, only at least half as many.
Yeah. The one bit of news that I did have, which isn't really, well, it kind of is cryptid news, but it's the headline is more than anything. It's Wolverine spotted in California, which is where we are all right now, which I thought would be relevant, for only the second time in 100 years.
Wow.
A Wolverine, actually two Wolverines, oh no, three, a trio of rare Wolverine sightings.
This keeps getting better. Four,
five, they're quick, oh man, they're coming in quick and fast.
Someone just updating the article live.
Six, seven, oh my God, stop it. 54,000 Wolverines taking LA by storm.
Help me!
Anyway, they've been verified by scientists that a trio of rare Wolverine sightings in California have happened, marking just the second time in a century the animal has been spotted in the Golden State. All three were reported by different people last month, so it may well be the one same Wolverine walking around.
Did they definitely hear it, or are they just hearing Reese sing his "If you leave us now"?
Another Wolverine.
The article's bumped up another notch.
There is thought to be only 300 Wolverines in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny that you kind of go, because it's a Marvel character, and the name Wolverine now is in popular culture, I care about the animal more. I'm like, oh, a Wolverine sighting. Yeah. If it was like a sloth or something, you'd go like, Mario, whatever. There's no Marvel sloth. Not yet. It's quite a good idea. Free movie idea there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the power would be.
Just
you'd have to bank on your enemy not noticing you're punching it for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Just slow.
Be a great movie scene.
Almost there. Did you know that there is only one lazier animal than the sloth?
Oh.
Which is the koala.
Okay, yeah. Really? In terms of sleep hours.
It sleeps longer and just doesn't give a fuck as much as... Wow. Sorry, I swore.
That's okay.
It's Australian. It swears. It's natural. Don't give a fuck, mate. Just I'm going to have another...
Think about it. They are quite similar, those
they two.
They
are. About
some of their characteristics.
Yeah.
Oh. Ooh, still I'm in great worry that I'm going to remember quite a lot of this, so I think we should probably end things here. But it's great to be back. Thanks for listening, everyone. And we've got more. Sorry, what was that?
Sorry, just an ad. I was just actually checking whether or not the sloth fact was right, that koala was I remember reading that somewhere, but I just was having a quick look. Hang on, quick. A sloth's lazier than koalas. The sloth sleeps around 20 hours, but the cute and cuddly yet deadly koala can sleep up to a whopping 22 hours. That's 91% of the day.
That's
the insane. Other 2 hours... deadly as hell.
Yeah.
It's like sleep, kill.
Yeah, because it's grumpy, it's woken up.
Yeah.
Why is it deadly? I don't know. Anyway, go back to signing off. I'm just reading about the deadly koala.
Yeah, well, I think the theme tune's been playing for the last 30 seconds anyway. So, bye, everyone. Bye. We'll have another chat to you next time.
Did you know?
We're done.
You can leave us now. We know we've taken a great big part of your time. Ooh, please don't go.
Three more Wolverines spotted in the LA area.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.